Here's an interesting thing. I was looking at the transcript of the very first session with Ion, and this was not recorded. And it seems the first sentence Carolyn writes down, like we said, hey, okay, JW, let's be quiet for 30 seconds, and then I'll ask a question or say something. And I didn't know, I don't know what I asked. Anyways, here's what the first words are. It is the process with which, between the three of us, which is our experience. Actually, the words are, it is the process with which is between the three of us, which is our experience. Carol may not have gotten it right totally, but it talked about the interplay of the three of us. I guess it would be JW, Carolyn, and Bob, right?
Correct.
Which co-created this Ion thing.
Well, no, it actually didn't co-create. We were always here, Bob.
Right.
It allowed you the opportunity to embrace your very own non-physical, because you had been through the whole process with the Worcesters and the Ollie and the Evergreens and the Billowy Willowies and the different ones that were in that whole process, and it was all okay. You got the very best of that was, but it was meaningful only as much as you could add meaning to it. But this was different. You were in a new place. You wanted a new place. You didn't just want to smell the sausage cooking. You wanted to eat some.
Right. So, and part of being a new place was being in Maui.
Yeah.
That was symbolically a new place.
That you got tricked into being at.
Yeah. So then I got tricked into Ion showing up. If it follows from the Maui thing, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So it's about a process between the three of us.
Certainly.
And that would be the interaction of our non-physical.
Yeah, absolutely. But then it applies to physical. For example, you have a life, a physical, and you have opinions and feelings. Carolyn has a life, she has emotions, and she has feelings. JW has a life, he has strong feelings about most everything. And many of those he's had to figure out a way to relax and allow with.
Yeah.
It made it appropriate. And then sometimes that's even through a tad of contrast. We wouldn't care if you called on a spur of a moment and wanted to play at 4 o'clock in the morning. Okay?
Right.
We don't care. We're good. JW likes the cadence of getting used to the process of when your times are available, and he makes one tiny little reference, and then all of a sudden then there's a rule place that comes, and we're saying we don't care because we don't, but it's very compassionate, as you, a human creator, are reeled in by your compassionate wife, who says, Bob, you're not going to run over JW just because Ion doesn't care. You see?
Yeah.
And that's very refreshing, because you know what that says for JW? What that says to JW is, wow, they do care. How very nice and kind. That's very much appreciated. Mm-hmm. But he couldn't say that, because if he said that, he'd have to admit that he was in a position where it's kind of like, well, okay, we'll just do whatever Bob wants to do, and that'll be all that there is. Well, you're not that way, but at the same time, you would be like, oh, okay, great. So the only time that I am is available is when I'm supposed to be at the beach. Well, that's not going to work either, you see. So, but it's that coherence of a flow. For example, if we had readings that filled up the space in a day, you didn't get to go to the beach and you really wanted to, you would do that and never say a word. Well, JW would probably say, no, we need to have a break so you have time to go to the beach.
Right.
You see? So it's the compassion that goes into that process, but it's always a very refreshing, genteel place that you're compassionate.
Yeah.
And sometimes JW goes to blowing off at the mouth over stuff he don't have any idea what he's talking about, and that's okay. But he always yields to the opinions of those that he is co-creating with.
Yeah.
And that gives Carolyn a chance to say, shut up, JW, what the hell are you talking about? Get over that mess. Let's get this way. Get on with it. Let's go next, or okay. And you then have final edit say and say, well, this is what I want to do. Okay, I want to get this thought, I want to get this process, this is what I want to create. Well, that's co-creating at its very best, because the three of you are very easily probably the most yielding of all.
Yeah.
See, JW's...
Okay, that was... So this opening sentence, do you remember saying this? It is the process with which is between the three of us, which is our experience. Which, could you say that without the with and the witches, which seem to be redundant?
They're not. They had to give the full dynamic because you were in the beginning stages of understanding what you were even asking. The point of this coming together place was it's one.
Yeah.
You're non-physical, Bob. Carolyn's non-physical and JW's non-physical. Came together in a mind of inclusion.
Right.
You were all together. Now, you had individual physicalities that weren't exactly lined up.
In what way is that? What is
well,
our
Carolyn takes over the house in the morning, and you take over the house at night, and you both live together and don't take one breath without the other, but half the day each of you are out of each other's environment.
Okay, so, but if we, and JW is included in that non-physical relationship thing? You were just saying?
He was. He absolutely was. And
because he has a whole different physical world, you mean?
Absolutely. And to hem him up, he basically changed his world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what we...
Pleasantly. He was unhappy. You'd know it.
Yeah.
You would know if he was not happy. He's there, but you got to realize it was very radical him to change everything.
Yeah, it took us a while to realize how much he had changed. I just knew he liked going and having Ion come through. And
it was fun, it was exciting, it was new, it was different, but then all of a sudden he couldn't have time to go to massage day and acupuncture day, and then he had to get back because this was going on, and then it wasn't convenient for this and that, and you know, then all of a sudden it's kind of like, well, you know, damn, I guess the tail is wagging the dog here. But then it came okay because he lined up with the deliciousness that was the benefit that we provided. Then you could have the masseuse come to you if you wanted it to. I mean, that's even the best of all the worlds, you see. So then all of a sudden it became, well, this is kind of fun, or this is delicious. And then it became, he could had more ability to look inward to himself, which allowed a fuller dynamic of JW to be.
Yeah.
He's much more than he was, and he thought he was pretty much it before.
Well, what if...
Ask him. He'll tell you how special he is.
Yeah, we knew that. We heard it, but we experienced it. Now, what I think of as you're saying this is that he had to make this quote adjustment, which turned out to be great, but we were perfect in how we didn't tell him to adjust. If he had said, no, I can't do a reading until next Thursday, we would have gone along with that.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And see, that's the compassion part that lets the waxing and waning work itself out.
Yeah.
And that was great. And it was very, very appropriate because all humans really want is... you don't have to do what they think. You just have to acknowledge that they can think.
Yeah.
And once you do that, then it's kind of like, well, okay, this is sort of how I feel. Let's see how it comes out. You see? And if you're doing it that way, then it's validated. And that validation many times is enough because now you realize, and he realizes mostly, that he has non-physical working day and night, and he didn't have to do a thing.
Mm-hmm.
No attention is required.
Yeah.
And everything works out for him, but it does already anyway. So that wasn't odd or foreign. But the contrast of this metamorphosis was actually what he was asking for and didn't know how to come to. He was very frustrated with his relationship with Abraham because it was limited and had to go through the strainer of Jerry and Esther.
Yeah.
And it was very offensive to him because he's kind of like going, What the hell do you mean? I have to hold up my hand to get in the hot seat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, what? And then I'd go twice. Then the scuttlebutt was, well, oh, well, it's JW. He can go to the hot seat anytime he wants to, and he's going twice in a session, and there's 900 people.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's got a question, and he gets to go twice in a day. And then you could just feel,
yeah.
He could just feel that these people were just hating him because he could go twice and they'd never been all their lives and never gotten there once.
Mm-hmm.
And so that made the sessions with the Abrahams, the weekends, uncomfortable on that level, too.
Well, exactly. See, and they didn't mm-hmm. know what to do with JW because he would run the boat. You know, he would have the ability, he could take and say, okay, there are 209 seats at this particular event. JW could say, okay, I'll take all 209 seats, and then I can ask me damn questions if I want to. And you got to answer them. Well, mm-hmm. but then that's a different, see, then it would be no fun because then you pushed your way, and mm-hmm. non-physical doesn't push.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are you saying that JW could have bought the whole 209 seats?
Yeah.
Be the only guy there?
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, nobody knew you could do that. He could do that.
Well, they suspected.
Non-physical
did.
No, they suspected it. So, well, what would? But they never did that. So they'd have to say, well, gee, great, JW let us come. But the point is, he was the control point that everybody started to perceive.
Always.
Yeah.
Always.
Mm-hmm. How come he got to be picked twice? Because Abrahams wanted him to, his question.
No.
He wouldn't have anything else.
He got what he wanted.
Yeah.
You better believe it. And absolutely. And they understood that, and it almost became uncomfortable for them because they're kind of like going, who is this person and how does he do this? And
you mean with them being Esther and Jerry?
And their office and their whole dynamic.
Right.
And then who was going to run the office and lots of scuttlebutt.
Right.
It was quite a thing. And JW had to stop and say, wait a second, I'm not running Abraham Hicks Publications.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my job. Well, we don't think she should be running the office. I said, okay, get rid of her.
But okay. Who are you referring to there?
We're trying not to be so
specific.
But
you're talking about an employee.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. All right. So Esther confided, and so then he would be thinking about it.
And it would answer and say, do this. And I'm thinking, why wouldn't you be asking Abraham? Why would you be asking me, JW?
Mm-hmm.
And did they get rid of her?
They did.
Oh, okay. Long after JW was gone?
No, the very next day.
Oh, okay. So then people figured you had an influence there.
From the office level, yes.
Yeah. So all this was becoming a problem. JW just wanted to interact with non-physical and all this other crap happened. So he had to start his own scene. He had to start his own network.
No, what he had to do is he came into a place to where he had to know that this couldn't be the way non-physical works.
That it couldn't be that way, yeah. It
couldn't be that way. And if that's the way it was, that was no difference than what they were saying on CNN.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and now look how much office politics is not in your experience.
Right, and how we always slightly avoided, I did, the Abrahams. It was old news for us, but Carolyn liked it to fall asleep to, but we never were attracted to the, we never would feel involved to go see
them. We never got an answer to anything.
That's right, and the answer they did give, we already knew.
And Abraham said it best. He says, we have all these questions, but then they say, we have only one answer.
Yeah. Mm. And
that was pretty much right.
Right. But they never engaged personally where you could find out what was going on in Balmoral Palace, you know. That's what they didn't allow.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yes. And we're not so sure that, that's not fair. What we were going to say was that we're not positive that Abraham knew.
Right.
But that wouldn't be right or fair. What would be right or fair is the sieving process that goes on that would eliminate all those degrees of tactility.
Mm-hmm.
No, okay. What sieving by
Esther
who?
Esther wouldn't let it come through. Even if it came through, she wouldn't allow it.
Because she kind of had a bit of control in it. of what was said.
With everything, every dynamic of it, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we're let's go back to the sentence. So Ion remembers saying this. This is an important sentence. It's the first sentence. It is the process with which is between the three of us, which is our experience.
Yes.
And then the next sentence, I don't know if I say it or Ion says, so here's what it says. You alluded to it several times last night, the process of which where others were doing the psychic work.
That was Ion speaking to you.
Yeah, about the evergreens and previous scenes, right?
And the willowies.
And the willowies. You alluded to it, yeah. And we did talk about the night before, about mediumship, so that's... And then Ion says, the gist of this process that's opening is that there seems to be more of a tactile experience of the change in the veil.
Right out of the chute.
Right. That'll be said in the last reading, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's the beginning and the end right there.
Mm-hmm.
Turning inside out, which means what we know that is not, and what we know that is not, is.
Is. Exactly. And the figuring out the degrees thereof. Exactly. Very, very good. That's it.
Yeah, we should. The first sentence, it is the process with which is between the three of us, which is our experience.
It is the process that is which. Read the first part again, and we're going to stop you when we get to the place we want to add one word.
Here's the exact words. It is the process with which...
Comma. That.
That. Okay, I'll put comma in there. No, I'll just leave it. Maybe you can rewrite this, Carol. It is the process with which, comma,
that.
And the rest is between the three of us.
Yes. Of the that is between us.
Yeah.
The process by which that is between the three of us.
Then you put a comma, which is our experience.
Yes.
Comma.
Good.
Okay. You got that?
Just one that. That's all.
Yeah, it is the process with which, comma, that is between the three of us, as he's qualifying it, comma, which is our experience. So it is the process with which,
comma,
and that process is between us, which is our experience, which is exactly what it's always been.
Mm-hmm.
Correct, and it has been perfect. And even if one of us, the three of you, because we get crossways with you too, and that's okay, because we're non-physical. We don't have a dog in the fight, so we're good. But we don't mind voicing the opinion. But even the feeling places that are drawn, you can get a feeling place from Carolyn, and it's not a contrarian, but it's like, I want to understand this. Or, I get the big picture, Bob. Now, why do you have to have the details?
Right.
Well, then JW's like, well, we want Bob to have what Bob wants. Well, great. But you see, the interplay is always done in such a way that it's always toward a solution.
Yeah.
As long as that's the case, then you can get it, and that's fine. And then Carolyn enjoys it, and that's fine. And JW, he always says that he's not involved, but he is.
Yeah.
He's involved because he feels.
Yeah.
He is a feeler. He may not be good at many things. Actually, he's good at everything, but ask him, he'll tell you. But what he knows is that he is a high-strung feeler.
Yeah, what do you call those kind of people?
Empath.
Or nervous Nellies? You know, is the old term.
Well, no, because he doesn't run on nerves. He's just had enough life experience to know.
Right, so he's an empath. You like that point?
High-strung empath.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And learn very quickly how to clear and not get involved in everyone else's defecation.
Defecation. So it's interesting what you just said, because the next line is, we are just now coming to a place of resolution.
Mm-hmm.
So the involvement of Bob and Carolyn and JW, Ion was the resolution.
Yes, it was the solution,
yeah.
The resolved purpose of engaging tactile interplay regarding human and human creation.
Yeah, because up to that point, we're trying to figure out how to get the books out.
Well, everybody was just pissing in the wind. Everybody was just pissing in the wind. They were just sort of throwing darts at the wall or throwing shit and see what would stick.
You mean other people. You mean not Carol, Bob, and JW. You mean
right,
the evergreens.
Right, up until that point, all that you had was less than.
Right.
It was good, but you wanted more.
Right.
Correct?
Yeah.
And even the one that sort of you had an embracing experience with decided he didn't even want to do it anymore. How do you say, thanks for this bliss, Bob, but I've had all the bliss I can stand. Screw y'all, I'm done. I ain't going to your parties, I ain't going to your meetings, I ain't, you know, you can send me your money check if you want to, but I ain't doing this no more. Thanks. I'm going to go work at the boat docks.
Right, and I was probably shocked by that, but in my typical style, I said, well, I won't give any attention to it. And then it got resolved 4 years later.
That's correct, but it kind of, you're like, wait a second, I did everything but make you, and then all of a sudden you don't want to play anymore? Okay, we don't have to do it every day, but you mean never? You know, and it's kind of like, whoa, what kind of non-physical abdicates the position of non-physicalness?
Okay, we got that. We've been through that. So we came this, and what I was thinking about how JW wanted to write books, and he couldn't figure out how to solve that, and then this resolved it.
It did.
So it's interesting.
Marvelously, perfectly.
Yeah, and it came out, JW started talking about that about a month later, you know, hey, we figured out how to do it. But it's here right in the first sentences. We are just now coming to a place of resolution. Now, we didn't know why these words were being said. And then the next thing is, probably because I think we talked about the resolute desk previously in the day before or something, but all of a sudden, it's a pun on resolution. So Ion says, parallels to the resolute desk in the White House. British ship lost a couple of hundred years ago. Queen Victoria had two desks made out of the ship, one in the White House, one in Buckingham Palace. It means something different to those in power than to tourists, you know. And that would be... Which brought me an idea. Is the resolute desk a portal or something? And we have a new way to look at this.
No, but the Charlotte was.
The actual ship was a portal. Like that boat that went, you know, the cargo ship
exactly,
out of Liverpool.
Exactly, that's how that boat got gone the first time.
Right.
They get lost for all those years, and then all of a sudden they find it someplace it was not supposed to be.
And so somebody realized that, what was going on?
Yes, when the boat just sort of showed up.
So did Queen... that's why it's kept in the White House. It's a symbol of those in the know, Freemasonic or whatever, Knights Templar, know that it is a parallel world traveler. That's the meaning to them of the desk connected to the boat, right?
And is the desk... Got something to do with being a portal?
No, it was made of the wood of the ship.
Whoa. Easy there. Okay. Carolyn's on to something.
Maybe it is now, right?
You didn't hear?
No. There are symbols in the creation of the Resolute Desk that included symbols that from a place of power... Those symbols would become very important if you knew with which and what to do with them.
And that's what's in the drawer that Ion said.
Yes.
In the one in the White House, there's something in the drawer or something. Would that be the symbols?
No,
Are you wondering whether to say this publicly? Is that the hesitation?
Well, we're just trying to not blow your mind. We're just trying to give it to you soft a little bit. And we did this already, and we said we'd come back to it, and now we're back to it. So we don't know how we can belay the order anymore. So we just have to go with it.
Yes.
Okay. The commissioning of the Resolute Desk.
From the wood of the boat.
Yes. If you look at who was the person who constructed the boat, see, the boat was found by Americans. It was given as a gift back to Victoria.
Right.
Victoria then had it dismantled and had two desks made from it.
Now, she knew what it had done.
She did because of her husband.
Yeah, who knew a bit about this parallel world stuff.
Well,
not so much.
Yes, very much. You ain't going to get that right this time.
Okay.
But you'll come back to it, and we'll get to belay it as long as we can. he was very well embraced in how symbolism applied to the monarchy.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Those symbols were included in the Resolute Desk that was then given as a gift back to the White House.
Yeah.
Okay. And so the symbols from Buckingham Palace and the symbols from as the monarchy was presenting it, it was to the King of America.
Mm-hmm.
But see, that's how the presidency kind of is known.
You mean that's how the monarchy looks at it?
Well, no, that's how your damn White House looks at
it. The equivalent.
Of being
a
king, right.
Actually more powerful, they just don't keep their job very long.
Yeah.
Okay? So it could very easily be tucked inside this. So
symbols were easily tucked inside this?
Well, if you do a little research of who created the Resolute Desk, you'll find that they weren't known for furniture building. They were known for making puzzle boxes.
Oh, yeah.
That's not Edward Belcher. I have here, go back into the history, had to do with Edward Belcher, the ship being returned to England. No, that's something else, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
But if you look at who actually created the desk, what you'll find is that they were famous for building puzzle boxes.
Mm.
Wow.
More than furniture.
And they put a puzzle box in the drawer?
Well,
no. The whole desk was a puzzle box.
The whole desk was a puzzle box.
Oh, okay.
And when you open it in a certain configuration, it would open panels and sections that would expose symbols.
Now, could it be that the plan was to open up the symbol desk in Buckingham Palace and travel to the White House?
No, they couldn't quite wrap around that because they were much above that, you see.
Yeah.
They weren't going to get too involved with the nasty Americanos.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You see, because it wasn't many moons before that the Queen was trying to pump up the CSA so that they could take over and help the Southerners win the Civil War.
Yeah.
You see, so there's always that anticlimactic dynamic that sort of puts a twist on things, you see,
right.
How it's going to serve them best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, what was the purpose of placing this
divide? Down? Divide the symbols between America and the monarchy, not the United Kingdom.
Right, yeah. And divide the symbols like a special relationship?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so then when you had a queen on the throne and you had a king in America that jihad
mm-hmm.
correctly,
mm-hmm.
compatible or had a level of compatibility,
mm-hmm.
then those engagements could be individually shared.
Yeah, do you know the original meaning of the word symbol, Carolyn?
Mm-hmm.
I think is that they would take a stick, for example, and they'd break it in half, and one guy would get half, and the other get half, and then you'd bring them together at some point.
Oh, yeah.
That's the meaning, to break apart the same thing.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Now, if they had one they did not get along with, then those symbols did not have to be shared, because, as you well know, presidencies don't give information to presidents.
Right. They don't pass it on.
No, they do not pass it on. Now, they even though they hate everybody on the planet all along, once they become an ex-president, then they just love everybody to death.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But beforehand, they wouldn't dare have a picture made with them.
Mm-hmm.
But once they're an ex-president, they even got along with Jimmy Carter.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and Bush and Clinton got together.
Yeah, I mean, it's
Now, the sharing of the symbols. So, Victoria, did she share it with whoever was in at that time?
Yes.
And then did the next monarch share it with the The next president, how did that go?
No, well, it's still going.
Yeah, in other words, the new president comes in, he doesn't know about the desk, and he might notice some symbols in it at some point. He wouldn't even notice anything. But if
you'll
he did
never
notice...
Open it, you'll never open it unless you're told how to open it.
Mm-hmm. Right, so you have to figure out it is, and then ask the queen, but the queen may not acknowledge you. You have to develop a relationship with the queen or the king of England to find out about the desk.
So much so that several presidents who weren't in the know and didn't have that relationship, they didn't even use the Resolute Desk. They had it removed from the Oval Office.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This would be
which is unheard of.
This would be great stuff for the movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, didn't Nicolas Cage go into that? He was...
Who's Nicolas Cage? He's an actor.
Yeah. He had a couple of movies about Washington secrets. I think he was working with puzzle boxes and desks.
I didn't see those movies.
That National Treasure.
Right.
And that's in a blown-out version of it. Because it's not like that at all. There are compartments and there are things that don't open that open, okay?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But it's not like that the drawers are a combination.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's on that same level. It's very, very intricate.
Mm-hmm.
National
very.
Treasure is the name of a movie, Carol?
Yeah.
And you
yeah.
saw it? Okay, can we just back, so we understand the relationship?
It's as close as you've had it being exposing the whole theory, and they would call conspiracy theory, but...
Right, now that was because the writer or somebody knew what we're talking about?
Degrees of it, yes.
Yeah.
But like, they confused it with looking for Cibola.
And what's Cibola?
The City of Gold.
Oh, okay.
Mount Rushmore.
So what did the sharing of the symbols do for the two countries? What was the purpose?
Okay. If you're the monarch and you like the other monarch,
yeah.
you share your secrets, and then together with those symbols, much can be wrought.
Oh, I see.
Including parallel world knowledge.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Which, in the 20th century, did the queen...
Before you go there, Bob, just a second. Don't forget it, but before you go there. Where do you think Ronald Reagan got the idea to start Star Wars?
He got it from Lyndon LaRouche.
There you go.
According to LaRouche. But actually, the official story is Edward Teller came up with the idea.
Well, one had the symbols and the other had the idea.
The idea? Idea, yeah. You say idea like ID. Okay, had the idea. So
that's the way Sarah Palin says it.
Okay. So Ion, always ever the trendy, she's the new it girl, so Ion likes to take you on her tone.
Yes, we're all just gaga over her.
Yeah, Lady Gaga. She's the political gaga with the Lady Gaga as the musical accompaniment.
So who had the symbols and who had the idea?
Well, no, Reagan had a great relationship with the Queen.
Mm-hmm. No, but Star Wars, we were talking about Teller and LaRouche. Who had the symbols?
Neither. The idea was presented to Reagan from part from LaRouche and part from your other fella.
Keller.
That was an ongoing process. That's not has anything to do with what we're talking about.
Okay.
Once it's presented to the jelly bean popping Reagan, then conversation with the sitting monarch at the time, which is just one lady, had interaction. And at that time it was embraced from the Queen Mother to actively engage with this very wonderful actor who's now pretending to be president. Mm-hmm. And symbols were exchanged, and then dynamics were instantly opened, because you can't do what he did. There wasn't enough money in the creation to spend as much as he spent on that project.
Mm-hmm.
But that would bring in the 418 group, right?
No, it did not.
Okay, so that was a special thing that Queen Elizabeth, through the Queen Mother, inspired Queen Elizabeth to officially connect with Reagan and plant that idea for him.
No. Reagan had the idea, and it was Lyndon LaRouche that presented it, but there was no way. Bob, this was bigger than, this was.
Nina Sharp, worlds colliding.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. And then funding such a thing was more than there was.
But Queen Mother has all kinds of funding potential.
Queen Mother knows she doesn't require funding. She knows power. And she encourages her daughter to engage in the President Reagan. And they share and have communication. And then next thing you know, they start communicating the different symbols between the different desks, and all of a sudden, marvelous wonders are wrought.
Does that mean that Reagan could parallel world? You don't mean that. That Reagan could parallel world, and they went to parallel worlds and got some of these Star Wars ideas and brought it back. I don't think you mean that.
It's indirect. It's indirect, but that's as close to it. Do you understand the laser dynamic from the satellite technology was probably 30 years from being created at that time?
Right, yeah.
And all of a sudden they came up with it instantly?
Mm-hmm.
And then they had to figure out where to find a couple of $1 billion to do it?
Right.
People didn't speak in terms of billions of dollars in the 80s.
Mm. Right.
They didn't speak of, will you check in the money drawer and see if we have an extra $1 billion somewhere? They didn't discuss like that. Bob, if you had $100,000 in those days, you'd do it as well on your way.
That's right. Did you say $100,000?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dr. Beter, meanwhile, was saying that, you know, behind the scenes, there was acquisition of the Star Wars technology, you know, by 77, 78. So mm-hmm. Beter was probably exaggerating it, but he was picking up on something, I think.
He was just trying to make his last great strike.
Right. And so...
Who got the gold mine and who got the shaft?
Yeah. So the Star Wars is announced March 23rd, 1983. How many years before that was this sharing going on? Well, Reagan wouldn't have to be president, so it wouldn't have started until 81. So we're talking about 2 years of interaction between the Queen and Reagan.
Right. Well, no, it happened one afternoon.
Okay, so this is...
82.
Yeah, is that about when... That's when the Queen...
August 4th.
August 4th, 82.
2:14 in the afternoon, U.S. time.
Is that when the Queen brought it up, or was that...
They engaged.
In the topic, and then it went from and many hours after that, right?
Lasted 58 minutes total.
And that's where the symbols were exchanged or
yes.
Discussed. But there was no preparing for that to happen.
Now your log, which was soon to be released... Reagan's telephone logs aren't too many moons from being released.
Yeah.
And you're going to be very intrigued when you see in the entry that Queen Elizabeth has a conversation with the White House on that date at that time.
Oh, it was not, she wasn't in their presence, it was a phone conversation.
It was a phone conversation, that's correct.
But was there...
You can't do this in person to person. You have to be at each desk for it to work.
I see. Was there any inkling and preparation before that hour-long conversation?
No.
It just happened.
Orchestrated because we were still all distracted with this DEFCON 3 with your Cold War.
Yeah.
I mean, you're back in Gorbachev days.
It's just before Gorbachev, but the thing is that...
No.
Well, he was behind the scenes.
He got that right. That's how he got to where he was from that place. Good.
Right, and Beter talked about Gorbachev earlier than anybody.
Absolutely, and he was a marvelous creator, and he would have given his left testes to have that relationship with the sitting monarch at the time in England. But it was just too much sugar for a dime.
Right, but the we were talking about, so 82. Oh, yeah, and Beter in 82 was the ostensible first strike was going to happen in September 82. So, yeah, that was at the height of the Cold War renewal. 82 was a...
That's why I would say it was a DEFCON 3.
Right. So, that, how do you spell it? D-E-F?
DEF, D-E-F, COM.
C-O-M, okay. So this, I assume that the way it happened is that they got talking on the phone, and Queen Elizabeth told something to Reagan, said, look into the desk, look under there, you'll see this, and I've got the other desk right here. And they discussed the two desks in that conversation?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, that's going to be, that's a great follow-up from what the Queen Mother did in World War II. Now we see her orchestrating Star Wars. So that's Queen Mother behind the scene, right? Was she in the room with Queen Elizabeth when Queen Elizabeth...
She most absolutely was, and she'd had 3 gin and tonics by this time.
So she was helping her daughter do it.
Well, she was trying to drown it or something. She was nailing it pretty good because it was like, this ain't the way we play.
No, wait.
Monarch under that.
She was trying. Who was trying to drown it or not drown? What were you just saying?
The Queen Mother was trying to drown it because this is not the way they play.
She didn't want this out.
She did. It had to come out, but she doesn't. It was not in her best interest to show that her slip, even though everyone was proud that she wore a slip. But it was not in her vernacular to show her slip, her skirt tail.
Right, but
this particular experience, it became crucial to share it, to nip some things in the bud that would drag the UK back into another big damn war.
Right, and so you're saying the Queen Mother dropped her rules and objections and allowed this to happen.
And then and said, make it so.
Right, because in the spring was the Falklands War.
That's right.
And Beter was saying it was going to get worse, so this was...
That's right, and this is what was sacrificed, having to come down to the commoners to start playing with Hollywood actors to save our country.
To give up the secret.
Britannia.
Right. To reveal the real secrets or the important secrets.
Correct, but it was a trusted place because whether you know it or not or whether you like it or not, Queen Elizabeth is very much in tune to the non-physical world.
Yeah, because I was struck by some documentary I saw, and it showed the Queen receiving Reagan and some politicians or something, discussing something somewhere in Balmoral, Buckingham Palace.
Yeah, Buckingham Palace. They were never invited to Balmoral.
Right. But what was...
Very few are ever invited to Balmoral.
Well, what was striking to me, I don't know if the Queen was talking to Reagan. They had a close-up camera. They're showing them doing their schmoozing, and each had a drink in their hand. It's a bunch of people. And the Queen was talking to somebody. It might have been Reagan. I was amazed at how intense and alert the Queen's eyes were, as at least the camera picked it up. I said, that woman's smarter than you realize. You know, I mean, she had that kind of look I'd have. It was almost she was leaning into her son and reading his mind kind of thing.
Yeah, yes, and her mother was thrice better at it.
Right, yeah.
The Queen Mother could,
well, it wasn't much the Queen Mother couldn't do.
Correct, but no. The Queen Mother could know an intention of what they call them, suitors.
Right.
Someone coming to engage. She could tell their intention.
Right,
sometimes before they knew it.
Yeah, she had ESP.
Well, there's a little more to this than that, Bob. When you start knowing intention, you've got to know there's no time. When you start knowing intention, you've got to know, you know beyond. Sometimes she would know the intention before the human creator did.
Right. So it was the Queen Mother...
That's very significant. It's a new dynamic that has not even been dealt with in the psychic world. And if you want to, you can make your own name and call it the Bobology of the new and improved telekinetic spirit power, blah, blah, blah.
Right. It involves
shot a woo-woo.
It's an effect of understanding how there's no time.
That is correct. And see, because of her experiences, she could let that guard down and know there's no time.
Right. Now, so she was an ascended master man.
She would never admit to it. You know what she'd say? She says, well, I'm just doing the best I can with what I got to work with.
Yeah, but she worked with a lot.
She did, but she was never haughty.
Right, but so she was not she was an ascended man. I would give her that, but knew she was a humble ascended person.
She knew she was on her way to her very own ascension.
Right.
That's all she'd give you, because she would never find herself separated from the people.
Right. Is she in the guff now?
No, we said no. We said she was not some time ago. She still isn't.
Yeah, Queen Mother's not in the guff.
Right.
And she has her reasons not to be.
The fastest path to her joy.
Right. She's aware of what we're doing about her.
Yes.
She's,
and as she would say it best, she says, I've got closets full of clothes I've never worn. What's my hurry?
Right, so she's still living as the Queen Mother.
Well, yes. Ask anybody. They'll tell you about the Queen Mother. Like, they'll speak about the Queen Mother as in first person. They don't even speak of her as being deceased.
Right.
If you listen to it, they speak of the Queen Mother as though she was at the last Christmas speech.
Does she show up, make herself visible to her daughter?
Not to her daughter.
To anybody else?
Yes.
Who would that be?
Charles Rutherford.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's pretty famous, but her favorite footman. She still had footmen.
Right, and he, was he a parallel worlder?
Nope.
Nope, but he understood she showed up after she transitioned, and that was a nice experience for him, right?
Yes, indeed.
All right, so definitely have this, I mean, you go from World War II to Star Wars, that's a good thread for the movie. That spans the 20th century and shows two major events. And,
well... Don't forget, you got to screw with Vietnam and
Cuba and the Cuban crisis. That would be the in between phase.
Well, and the Korean conflict was before that. So
did the Queen Mother have much to do with those operations?
Yes, Bob.
Okay, so we'll find out that another time. Her particular.
Yeah, that's more. You could do one whole movie just on her.
Right. Right. Okay, so we have this sentence. It means something different to those in power than tourists. So there's Ion telling us the whole story right there in that sentence. And then Ion says, feeds a little of a conspiracy theory. And then the information we are getting access to, they already know it. Now, of course, we didn't know what the heck Ion was talking about.
You understand how we had to soften that up, though?
Yeah.
We had to, because if you come out with it just blatantly, then you're done.
Yeah, it wouldn't have any context.
You're post-coitus at that point. It's over.
Yeah, so then Ian says, might have gone into it last night, but had to clear and make sure we were okay. Mm-hmm. Now, how could they would have got JW to manifest something? Is that what they mean?
Yeah.
But had to clear and make sure we were okay. How was the clearing process? The ion
you go
coming
to a future
through?
Experience. Now, we'll explain that. See, you didn't know this then. But
yeah.
You go to a future experience another time. You see how it settles out. You see it's okay. You clear it, that's appropriate. And then you can go into your past and apply it to allow you to ask the questions to bring it into your knowing.
So... Ion is referring in that sentence, might have gone into it. They're referring to the previous sentence. The information we were getting access to, they already know it. And so then you had to clear that it would be okay that we, Carol and I, would eventually hear about it.
And from a future experience, kind of like now, then, now, would then be applied that it wouldn't send you on a rough and rocky road.
Right. So you made that, so that allowed you to make that sentence. The information we're getting access to, they already know it. You're implying there's something that we are going to find out that we didn't know. You know what I mean? So
yes, and then there's some things you know you hadn't found out about.
Right. And the so the point is, I
mean,
wouldn't
specifically the Venetian dime in your dryer.
Right.
Box.
So if it had not cleared, would Ion have not shown up?
No, we'd have shown up. We just wouldn't have dealt with that dynamic.
Right.
Because so, it would have crossed up here now.
Right. So.
You see how much fun this is, Connie. Is this not the funnest fun you've ever had? Do you understand now that this now opens up your place of you don't know where you're going, but you're well on your way?
Yeah.
You don't know where you're going, but you're well on your way?
Yeah.
Well, then it's like Banu today was talking about, I can't do this because I might make a mistake and this may happen if I'm in the wrong place, the wrong time, or all this kind of stuff. And we're like, well, you know, go ahead and off yourself now and get in the box because you've eliminated every possibility. But if you can come to the place that we're talking about now, you can see how it's gonna feel. If I do this, I would like to know how it's gonna feel. And if I could know how it's gonna feel, then that'll give me a good prescriptive adjective to let me know which ones I should engage.
Right.
Adjective-wise. Is that not good?
What'd you say? What-wise?
Adjective-wise.
Adjective-wise. How this is fun is like we're reading the first reading as if it's the Emerald Tablet. You know, we're finding out what's embedded in here. And because it was cleared, that is why you could make the statement to us, the information we were getting access to, they already know it. You know what I mean? That's the headline. And then you're saying we could have said it, but we had to clear it. Then you go, gist of this process is a simple process. It's easy. It's fluid, like the viscosity of oil and water. But you can make vinaigrette very painlessly. Indeed, these realms do mix fluidly. That's why it's so significant. It's so significant once you know you can never go back. Now you have a whole new vernacular which has to do with carnal knowledge of this new expression of reality. Carnal in quotes. Now that's like talking about meat sack and going into parallel worlding, right? I think that's what that
is. Well, yes, we were teasing you with it.
Yeah. Because you're not saying what is this whole new vernacular? Now, would that refer to words or the actual experience of the language?
Vernacular has nothing to do with words.
Right.
Everyone thinks it does, but it doesn't.
You know what it is? It shows how smart Bob is. It's the grammar of the legend of how to go to parallel worlds and come back without getting it upside down.
Perfect.
That's the new vernacular.
That's the big picture, Connie, and he got it first. Ha, 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 ha.
Okay.
And Carolyn says, I know, I feel so much better that I married someone who could get it first.
Yeah, okay, so it says...
Who thinks I'm cute.
Now you have a whole new vernacular which has to do with carnal, in quotes, knowledge of this new expression of reality. You are getting it fast. Cursing as you are blessing. Cursing as you are blessing. We're blessing something, but we're cursing at the same time?
Yes, you are.
That was what would happen over the next few months, right?
That's what happens now.
Right. Past that, it's getting much, much easier. So there's Ion explaining the veil lifting. Lou Dobbs is very upset about this. He threw in Lou Dobbs. And I read this to somebody today, maybe James, yeah. And he goes, ooh, why is he on about Lou Dobbs? And I said, well, he was on about Lou Dobbs from the very beginning and celebrated his stepping down. So what was Lou Dobbs very upset about? Not about parallel worlding, was it?
No. It was that you, Bob, were undoing everything that he valued as credible information in your beingness. You would get on the radio. He could never get on the radio and say that.
Right.
He could never open that up and say, oh, for that is an opinion or a position. And you would get out and just do it straight off, just head off. And it was just undoing everything that he had known or grown to know as the place of reality.
Right, so Lou
Dobbs. You'd slap him in the face, and then he'd say something else, and you'd slap him in the face, and it's like, well, I can't win for winning or losing.
This is Lou Dobbs versus his brother Bob Dobbs.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, you wouldn't. Yeah, you know, you would be in that transition, but yeah.
I wouldn't be? What'd you say?
No. You'd never parallel yourself to that.
No, brother. But the. Is by putting in Lou Dobbs, were you making a reference to the Dobbs, Bob Dobbs thing, punning?
No.
Okay.
Good Lord, suffering cats.
Okay, the point is Lou Dobbs, it's his non-physical who's upset. I assume he didn't know about me. There was no
he knows about you, Bob.
Oh, because of the Bob Dobbs? How would he know about me? Why would he know about me? Because
Bob, you were 2 seconds away from being on 60 Minutes.
What would that have been? This is March 18, and I'm not doing Ion on March 18. I've been doing my own stuff, the Android meme, for a year or two.
Well, that's bad enough.
Just doing the Android meme. So they almost put me on 60 Minutes about what? What would be the topic?
Of ripping you open, of how you got it all tangled up and got it all backwards, and your conspiracies are too conspiratorial to even be theoretically... conspiratorized.
Well, he wasn't connected to 60 Minutes. That's CBS.
No, Bob. Well, we weren't speaking about him regarding that. We were speaking about you and where you were.
Okay,
and
so people were noticing.
And 60 Minutes doesn't have anything to do with CNN. We understand that.
Yeah.
But because he was so upset about it, it got 60 Minutes' attention.
Okay.
Gosh, if they got right up under his nose. There must be something to this.
So there was a discussion about Bob Neverett Dobbs that I wasn't aware of.
Bilge Bob, yeah. Marshall McLuhan Bob or McLuhan Bob. Or
okay, so anyways.
Joyce Bob or
right.
Peter Beater Bob.
Herbert W. Armstrong
Bob.
Bob
Marshall, yeah. The Herbert W. Armstrong, yeah.
Lou Dobbs is very upset. Lou Dobbs is very upset about this. Then it says, using him as a silly example of the main part of the Android meme. Did I unsay the phrase Android meme? Did Carolyn get that right?
Yes, you did.
Amazing. This makes for a new fun place. It becomes, who is going to be responsible now for this new era of enlightenment?
There you go. That's what they were upset about.
Yeah, like the post-information society.
We're screwed, and now what?
Yeah. And then I think I say, symbolic or the one who made it happen? I don't know if I answered. I think I probably said symbolic, who's going to be the responsible, or the one who made it happen. You know what I mean?
That sounds Bobby.
Yeah, that's Bobby. And then Ion says,
Wobby.
Wobby. That's, and Ion says, that's the trick. If they give credence to that relative knowledge that we are experiencing, it means they had to know about it, and there's no culpable deniability.
There you go. That's the issue.
If they admit it, then they are, and they do, and it is. And
if they don't admit it, it passes them by, and they have to step down.
Right. So then I go, that's what's incredible. That's what's incredible about what I present. Claiming to talk to the dead and being president.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so they were knew I was claiming to be president at that point.
Well, Bob, you didn't have to look on. You don't read your own blogs very much, do you?
No. Okay, so then the next line is, the laundromat agreed. Did I say that or did Ion say that?
You wouldn't know what a laundromat is, so that was us, Bob.
So what were you referring to?
The laundromat where the laundry was being done, agreed. The chatter in where the laundry was being done, concurred.
Right. No, McLuhan wrote that the use of the laundromat at the end of Finning's wake was a sign for all the gossip of the Information Society, the gossip of
cleaning. Well, we just said, yes, that's where we got it from and how you would apply. And we're amazed that Marshall caught you up on it, because otherwise you'd be saying, hey, Carolyn, what is the hell is a laundromat?
Yeah, lucky I learned about the laundromat.
We have a laundromat. Isn't that where it's, is that a mat you put in front of the laundry box? Yes. Oh, that's the laundromat. Oh, that's, no, mat does the laundry. Laundromat, Matt's who's supposed to be coming and doing the laundry. Got it. Oh, okay. Karen, do we have a Matt that comes and does the laundry? Is that, do we have a laundry? No, Bob, we don't have a laundry mat. We have a laundry. Well, which Matt's supposed to come and do the laundry? Well, no, you see. If that hadn't been clearly worked out from a McLuhanism, you'd have no clue what a laundry mat was and what you were supposed to do with it.
So, right. Okay.
Congratulations. Thanks, Marshall.
Well, the guy who said the medium is a message, and since I was going to be involved with mediums, then he was the right guy to learn the practical stuff from. Because he was leading to the point, the big point of the medium is the message. The large is the message is what he was really pointing to. Okay, you got that? You got that.
That was a good, oh, opportunity that we forfeited on the benefactor.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Okay, so
oh.
You, I got it. The laundromat.
Your world.
The laundromat agreed, says Ion. Then Ion says, for the charlatans, it's much ado about nothing.
Aye.
Those days have passed. Now you have information on the inside / outside. People like you, nobody takes you seriously. You're not a threat to anybody. You're not undoing anything. It's a lot of fun, and it is what it is. If you get it, you get it. And if you didn't, I didn't mean it anyway. I guess that's what I would say. We know there is a deeper level of productivity. Now, does that refer to what I was doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a deeper level of productivity.
And Connie, he was starting to pitch in of something that she could actually stand having conversation with you regarding.
Yeah, that's a good point. This information that is coming now is never classified. That's right. We're always never going to keep a secret, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like Area 51, they can't deny it. Because that implies that it was. The government can't fathom how this continues to keep coming up. When you look at our economics and it doesn't add up, and even stupid people are figuring, it doesn't make any difference. Now people are paying as much in electricity as a mortgage payment. They got big electric bills?
Yes, Bob.
Okay. That shuffle...
You pay more in electricity than you did in your first house's rent.
All right. That shuffle and change has not bankrupted America, but makes people think there must be something else and shakes up the government who buried all this, and they aren't buying that the government is not going to save us. In other words, they believe the government is going to save us.
That's sort of what got them into this crosshairs of this newest mess, isn't it?
Yes, they got the bail. They believe the government should bail everybody out, and they went along with it, and now it's worse. So, back to this sentence, for the charlatans, it's much ado about nothing. What are the charlatans?
Those that announce that they know everything about everything, they don't know anything about anything.
Okay, is
one presenting they're responsible for the bliss of all the human creators, and then they don't care if there's bliss or not.
But are the charlatans the Lou Dobbs? Or are they the 418 group? I'm not sure.
No. They aren't the four. Why would the four? Why has the 418 group got to do
in the sense that people, like they say, I'm a charlatan, they don't know what I know, so they think I'm silly. I could be called a charlatan, so I'm thinking the 418 group, because people don't believe what they can do, they call them charlatans if they'd heard about it.
Most of them don't know what the 418 group is, and certainly the charlatans haven't.
But. All right, so the charlatans are the regular news Android meme people? Is that approximately who the charlatans are?
Yes, and those that embrace it to give a new experience of...
Right, so when it says for the charlatans, it's much ado about nothing, what does the it refer to? What I'm talking about, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
For the charlatans, they don't know the deeper productivity I was engaged in. Correct.
Okay.
Right. And then terror in Bernanke's... After the government is not going to save us. But terror in Bernanke's face... You know there's trouble when they bring Paul Volcker back from the dead, and he's not even dead. You said that. I didn't say that, right? Did I bring up the term? I don't know. I guess you did. Right? You would say you said that line.
Yes,
yeah.
Sure.
The vibration. Now, he's one of the charlatans, in a sense. He actually, not a charlatan. He recognizes what I'm talking about. What I was talking about, right?
Yes.
Okay, the vibration has gotten to such a place, the tearing the layers at a cellular level, just like the placenta. Separate entity. The placenta is thinning. What would the word separate entity refer to?
Birthing of a baby in a placenta.
Yeah, separate entity. The placenta is thinning, so the separate entity can come out.
Yeah, so,
and then the divide between the non-physical and physical is thinning. So you're using the placenta as a metaphor for the changing in the cellular level and the coming out of the separate entity, but it's not disconnected from the non-physical. You see how on the surface...
They're unconnected, yes.
They are unconnected?
No, they're not
unconnected. Unconnected. So how is the placenta is thinning, so the separate entity is not so separate from where it came from in the womb. I guess that's what you mean, right? Some call it awakening, but you had to be asleep to understand you are having an awakening. That's something you develop later. It's always the next logical step. It's solution-oriented in that... solution orientation. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. The last ones to know are in first place. That would be the charlatans, the Lou Dobbs, I guess, right? There is a place that's being birthed into this new place. Seeing some folks just as calm as lambs and some with not a worry in the world who are scared to death. So you're saying those that have been lambs and those that are very worried right now have no right to be worried. They're scared to death and they don't even know what's going on. Is that what you mean? They're seeing some folks just as calm as lambs and some with not a worry in the world who are scared to death. They don't have a worry, but they're scared.
Right.
Because they're listening to the news.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you mean there, you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the one that are calm, they're cool. They're not the ones who are scared, correct?
Right.
Or are they the ones who are scared, but they appear to be calm as lambs?
No.
Okay.
First way.
All right.
Yeah.
The resolute desk are screaming for the actual reality to be brought forth. Now look at that. I don't know if Carolyn's listening. The resolute desk are screaming for the actual reality to be brought forth. That's the bringing forth the parallel world knowledge, and the resolute deaths are screaming it because they're aware of it. So that's quite a statement right there. At that time, we wouldn't know why. We would just think it's metaphorical. They're screaming for the actual reality to be brought forth, but they're involved in the process, the resolute deaths, right? At least the way the queen uses them. And then I think, why? I don't know that. It has everything to do with the resolute deaths? Maybe that's a question. Did you think I said that? I don't think Ion would say that.
Right.
And then I think I continue. I say, some people choose it and some don't. Why is that? The desk? Was it a spy table? It actually was a spy table. But I don't know what... I don't mean it as the way it comes out. So then Ion... Those are all questions by me, correct? I must ask, I don't think Ion would go, was it a spy table, correct? And then Ion says, go back into the history. Had to do with Edward Belcher, the ship being returned to England. Ah, it was returned from the parallel world, right? Or it showed up, and when it showed up, it was found drifting and beat up a bit. And then it was returned, right, to England.
Oh, correct.
Right. All, and then Ion says, all this is about the kinetic field of reference to this one thing. A boat. Look at this, Carol. This totally makes sense now. All that he's been talking about is about the kinetic field of reference. Can you hear me, Carol?
Yeah.
To this one thing. A boat. The wood off the boat. It's not a big deal. It's a big deal. Some had to have it. Some were appalled by it. Queen Elizabeth can't stand it either. So they are picking up on it. Okay, so it's all very significant that the boat comes from a parallel worlding boat. Correct? It's not a big deal, but it is a big deal for those who don't know anything about this. Now, some had to have it, meaning had to have the desk. And some were appalled by it. Who was appalled by the desk? The fact that they had to talk to commoners? The Queen Mother attitude towards Reagan? Is that what you... No. Some had to have it, and some were appalled. The presidents, the ones that connected with Queen Victoria or subsequent monarchs, either tuned in and had to have it because they understood there was something to it, or didn't even care about it and moved it out of the room. That's what you're referring to, I think. It's not a big deal, it's a big deal. Queen Elizabeth can't stand it either. Now, she can't stand the desk?
What?
It says Queen Eliz can't stand it either.
Right.
What doesn't she stand?
The responsibility of having this activation power between the president and herself.
Right. So it was tough for her to do this, and she did it. But and then it says, so they are picking up on it. Who's the they that are picking up on it?
The human creators around it.
Yeah, because the next line is, the average Joe is picking up on energy too. So that might be a further explaining of they are picking up on it. Or
and that would be our timing. It's time.
Right, but in this first sentence, Queen Elizabeth can't stand it either, so they are picking up on it. Is there, who would be the particular they? The people in the know around Queen Elizabeth making a big deal out of the desk?
Nobody else knows about the desk.
Right, so it means humans are picking up on it. We're picking up on the new energy, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Come on, Bob, you're losing ion.
The average Joe is picking up on energy too. I am, but just finish this. Could be any object. There's the charisma point, or the imbuing of power. It's all laid here, the whole what's going to happen next 1,000 hours. The people in power have known about this for a very long time. That's what our movie's about. The 33rd degree of Masons and Shriners understand this power, and we don't even know what Ion's referring to, understand this power, and they have to keep it secret, which keeps the cream at the top, keeps them in power. Mm-hmm. They know there is life after death. They can organize their energies to reincarnate, to come back.
Now,
Ion had to stoop to use the word reincarnate, right, Ion?
Okay, Bob, that's enough.
Maybe
Carol may have written it wrong?
Yeah, recoronation.
Not reincarnate, recoronate. Another last sentence, Carol. What do you...
You've gone into a whole other topic now.
No, this is the first couple of paragraphs. The power is that some can understand by osmosis or experience that the veil divides the worlds. Abraham Lincoln understood this. Well, we find out he got that from his wife, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it is...
Maybe time.
Yeah, and so you're pointing out the power is that some can understand by osmosis or experience that the veil divides the world. They know there's a division, but they know there's two worlds, right? Not just life after death. They had unlimited power on the other side of the veil. That's traveling. That's the queen. That's everybody. The pharaohs. The trailer of the secret. And then you talk about that movie, The Secret. The trailer of the secret implied this. They didn't tell you what the secret was. That's what Rhonda messed up on. We wouldn't even have known who Rhonda was at that point. Bob Proctor just wanted a payday. Was not interested in developing the genre. So it was bastardized. Oprah didn't invite Esther and Jerry. Now, I don't know if J.W. had spoken to us about that, and we maybe knew it. But the point is that Ion is telling what Ion's going to do and how these others didn't do it, correct?
Mm-hmm.
They get it, and we get it. Once you get it, you are not tangled up in everybody else's mess.
Good.
I'll read the next few lines, and then that's it. But what I'm talking about is the new spinning of the veil, where you can draw that power into your own time-space continuum. That's what I developed after a few sessions, and then the week later, March 25th, went on air and started claiming we could draw it down, draw it in. The power mongers that would try to keep this away from everybody, they knew how to do this process, and they had to keep it secret or a conspiracy theory so nobody would take any stock in it. See, Ion is laying out the whole agenda that we're still clarifying in the first session, that we're here to let those secrets melt. How else would a freshman senator in Illinois, this would be Obama, say, I didn't vote for this, but he wasn't in the Senate then. Then 30 seconds later, he becomes a president. Veil thinning means we have access to a ton of energy. Even stupid people have access to it. Very good. So that's the, we've gone through and sort of clarified that, Carol. That's excellent.
Cool. That makes it, that gives you lots of screenplay fodder, does it not?
Exactly. We actually developed on the movie with that. I mean, that could be the end of one of the movies. That's, we'll just say, this is what, people will see a few movies, see all that's happening, and then Bob and Carolyn have their first session with Ion later down the way, and this is what it said, and everybody will know what it means, right?
Mm-hmm.
It'll be like when it's a TV series, it'll be a synopsis of what went on in the previous season.
Right. And it'd be like that famous one in Dallas when Bobby was dead, and then at the very last end of the season ending, Pam wakes up and he really wasn't dead. The entire season was just a dream.
Right. That's Dallas.
Really?
Yeah, that's 30 years ago, and often in the Church Sub Genius, J.R. Bob Dobbs was because the Church Sub Genius started in Dallas, it was a takeoff on J.R. J.R. was not Bobby, right?
No, Bobby was his brother.
Right. So did J.R. die at any point in there?
Well, he was shot, but he never died. He died in that season that was a dream, but no.
So the woman woke up, and who did she realize hadn't died?
Everybody.
Her husband, Bobby Ham.
Right, and also would have realized that J.R. hadn't died.
Right.
Right. So J.R. Bob Dobbs is a reference to that, so it's a timely that Ion goes back to that. And it's all about Bobby, Carolyn.
It's all a dream.
It's all a dream, Carolyn.
And she was just trying to sleep with Mark Grayson anyway, so it didn't really matter.
Did she have affairs with Mark Grayson in the dream?
Yeah, because her husband was dead. She'd all but married him.
Well, she dreamt that he was dead.
But she didn't know she was dreaming it then, and nobody knew that was the big rip. Just nobody knew it till it was over. You see, till it was the season was ended, and that was the outcome, was that the whole thing was a dream, and it wasn't that way at all.
Right, and in the dream, she married Mark?
All but.
So the point is that that's the beginning of the Reagan era and what we call the dumbing down of America. Here's this big series that's going to end right around when Reagan comes in. And it had that old ending. They couldn't think up anything like Abrams can think up. They came up with, and then I woke up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what a cliche. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Okay, that brings, in Lost, you have the boat that's coming to the two guys on the island. And this boat kind of like an 1820 or something, and it shows up, and that's the beginning of the Lost thing. It's like the boat showed up into another world, through a parallel world, or mm-hmm. came through a portal. And mm-hmm. so it's referring, whether Abrams knows or not, to the Resolute boat.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see if anything like that comes out when the show starts. Ian said the other night that...
It's a stretch, Bob.
Right, but that's why we're going to... make a better movie than Lost. We're going to fill in what they...
Well, that wouldn't take very much, Bob.
No, Lost is a good series. It's a fun
series. It's a good series, but not many humans embrace it.
Yeah, they don't want to spend all time thinking about it. It's too convoluted. Oh, I just know...
Figuring out.
Beg your pardon?
And unfiguring out the figuring out.
Yeah, so unfiguring out the figuring out. Yeah, because they're always changing. And mm-hmm. and Ion did say that there was going to be a lot of plot twists, turns. This season they lost. But the, we can look forward to that count. I just looked up the series called 24.